U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, along with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, urges Arab states to follow the UAE in striking deals with Israel, with a predictable response from Iran and other terrorist groups. The peace process between Afghans and Taliban moves forward. Putin poisons the opposition, says Germany. We're going through some top headlines, and what a stark contrast between the DNC and the RNC. Welcome to today's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. And welcome to this Tuesday, August 25th, 2020 edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. I'm your host, Winston R. Holland. Excited and pumped to be with you guys. What a convention last night. What a convention. You look at the stark contrast between the scowling, angry, just bigoted faces of Democrat after Democrat, from Michelle Obama to Barack Obama, to you name it. It really was a stark difference between that and between the positivity, between the love for country, the patriotism, the desire for America to actually succeed instead of be destroyed and turn into this socialist dystopia. I know we say all the time socialist utopia, and of course that's in jest, but really I think we should start saying they want to turn America into a socialist dystopia, because that's ultimately what it is. When you look at where socialism is implemented, such as in the USSR, such as in the former USSR, such as in today's shining examples of Cuba and Venezuela, and you see small models of socialism here in the U.S., whether it's the best example, of course, being Seattle, which the Chaz Chop group just completely destroyed. All that to say, what a stark difference in parties. And really, and that's what this election comes down to. Liberty or tyranny? Liberty or tyranny? Like, those are the options. The left wants to keep us shut down, keep us locked down. The left wants to punish churches for meeting. The left wants to fine churches for meeting. The left wants to fine churches for singing praises to God. This is tyranny. This is what they want. This is what they love. They want to force everybody to wear a mask. Everybody in the nation to wear a mask. Are you kidding me? This is absolutely insane for a disease that has, 99.98, according to their own numbers, survival rate. I mean, it's just absolutely asinine. The only way that they can enforce their insane agenda is through great force. Remember, Joe Biden says it's not about your rights, and he's absolutely right about that. Now I want to go to a man that whose speech, out of everybody's speech, and there were so many great ones, Kim Guilfoyle, Tim Scott, Donald Trump Jr., I mean, really, Nikki Haley. There were so many great ones, and so much stuff that was actually relevant to world news, foreign policy. But of all the speeches, to me, and I had seen this guy before, you probably have as well. This man's name is Maximo Alvarez. He's a Cuban immigrant, very successful Cuban immigrant, who has seen and whose parents saw firsthand how Fidel Castro took over and destroyed Cuba. Listen to what he says.
Yes, power for them, but not for the benefit of all Americans. I'm speaking to you today because I have seen people like this before. I've seen movements like this before. I've seen ideas like this before. And I am here to tell you, we cannot let them take over our country. I heard the promises of Fidel Castro, and I can never forget all those who grew up around me, who looked like me, who suffered and starved and died because they believed those empty promises. they swallow the communist poison pill. If you have a chance, go to the Freedom Tower in Miami. Stop and listen. You can still hear the sounds of those broken promises. It is the sound of waves in the ocean carrying families clinging to pieces of wood. Families with children who can't swim, but willing to risk everything to reach this blessed land. It is the sound of tears hitting the paper of an application to become an American citizen. Most heard and liked the promises, but soon after, they experienced the reality. Look at them, listen to them, learn the truth. Those false promises spread the wealth. Free education, free health care, defund the police, trust the socialist state more than your family and your community. They don't sound radical to my ears. They sound familiar. When Fidel Castro was asked if he was a communist, he said he was a Roman Catholic. He knew he had to hide the truth. But the country I was born in is gone, totally destroyed. When I watch the news in Seattle, Chicago, Portland, and other cities, when I see the history being rewritten, when I hear the promises, I've heard echoes of the former life I never wanted to hear again. I see shadows I thought I had outrun.
He's just recounting what he experienced, the same promises, hearing the same thing from the Suicide Squad, from Bernie Sanders, from Kamala Harris, these hardcore leftists. Yet in juxtaposition, you hear the Republicans talk about freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to keep and bear arms to protect your family and your country from tyranny. Like, there's really no comparison. If you want a complete and absolute tyranny, you vote for the Democrat Party with no freedom and the destruction of the United States of America. And look, the Democrat politicians are not condemning the violence. They're not condemning the rioters, the murderers, the looters. They're not. Notice how I didn't include protesters in that. I believe they can protest all day, every day for anything they want. I'm not against protesting. The First Amendment gives them the right to peaceably assemble. Gives everybody the right to peaceably assemble. So, but look, that's why the choice is between liberty and tyranny. And I hope America is waking up to that. I certainly do hope. By the way, that speech, as well as all of the articles mentioned today, will be at cgmradio.com. So be sure to check those out. All right, I want to jump over to something that we have discussed very recently, which was the staggering deal that the U.S. brokered between Israel and the UAE. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Pompeo urges Arab states to follow UAE in striking deals with Israel. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo urged Arab countries to join the United Arab Emirates in forming formal ties with Israel as part of a U.S. diplomatic push to align old enemies in the Middle East against a common rival in Iran. Quote, I am very hopeful we will see other Arab nations join in this, to recognize the state of Israel and to work alongside them, and will not only increase Middle East stability, but improve the lives for the people of their own countries as well. You know, this makes me think of, like, if you're going to be a vocal Trump supporter, and you've got friends that are not Trump supporters. I mean, this is essentially what's going on with the Arab League here. Like the sworn enemy of Arab nations, which is Israel, it's going to be very difficult if you are one of those countries that wants to come out and then work a deal with Israel, because maybe you're more interested in having a peaceful, prosperous society than just simply wreaking havoc across the world. Maybe. Again, it's not that I trust these nations. It's not that, who knows the extent to which many of them could be secretly funding terror. But again, they get a big backlash from their Arab neighbors if they don't fall in line with the continued idea that it's Israel's fault. It's lies, just like the lies against Trump, Israel is the cause of all the Palestinians and all the Arabs' problems and just hate toward Israel. So it is very similar to that. Let's listen to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This was a joint press conference yesterday discussing this.
Powerful alliance of values. Two great things that have happened since our last meeting. The first is that you have stood up to Iran's aggression and triggered the snapback sanctions. I want to commend you for doing so. I think people should realize that the Iran deal failed just as we predicted. Not only did it not mollify Iran's aggression, it fueled it and increased it. And we've seen Iran, since the JCPOA was concluded, emerging from its cage and devouring one country after another, targeting countries with rockets, with terrorism, with pillage and plunder and murder, all over the Middle East and even beyond the Middle East, including into your hemisphere. And in fact, to see the Security Council not only not join the American snapback sanctions, but resist it or stand on the sidelines and allow this embargo on Iranian arms shipments to Iran, to agree to it, I think is outrageous. That means that this regime will get tanks and aircraft and missiles and anti-aircraft defenses to continue its campaign of aggression throughout the region and the world. It's just absurd. So I want to congratulate you for standing there. We stand with you. I have to say that quite a few years ago, I had to stand sometimes alone in publicly rejecting the JCPOA and alerting the world on Iran's aggression. That obviously changed with the inauguration of President Trump and everything that you have done since. But I think it's important to point out that today we hear Gulf countries in the Gulf, speak out as forcefully as I'm doing now. And I think that I would suggest to our friends, especially our European friends, this point, that when Arabs and Israelis agree on something, it makes sense to pay attention.
Amen to that. So the friendship between Israel and the U.S. could not be stronger. And what has that friendship produced? That friendship is actually producing peace in the region. Could you imagine a pro-Iran, pro-Russia, pro-China, pro-Syria, Hillary Clinton presidency that would not have resulted in peace in the Middle East, just like the left is not bringing peace to the United States? It's bringing a discord and violence and hatred to the Middle East. Remember, Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. I know the vote of the week is tomorrow, I know the quote of the week is tomorrow, but for today, that's the scripture. And now, remember, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. In Matthew 5, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And that is what I see happening in the Middle East. with the help and the leadership of the Trump administration and Secretary Mike Pompeo, the negotiators and diplomatic team. So this is what it's doing. It's producing actual friendship with Israel and producing actual peace, because you've got to mitigate Iranian aggression in the area. And the only way you're going to do that, the only way, because we certainly, thank God, are not sending our troops over there to make it happen, which would be a total failure, not because our troops aren't awesome, because they are. But even if they did everything that that the warmongers would want, once we left, it would just go right back to how it was. It's really, really, really sad. So, but that's happening right now. Of course, another thing worth mentioning is that Iran, Hamas, and Islamic Jihad call for uprising after UAE-Israel deal. This is from Seth Frantzman in the Jerusalem Post. A PIJ rep said that, quote, Zionist regime will remain an enemy and that its destiny is destruction and decay. And whoever has a relationship with it will be transferred to the dustbin of history. PIJ representative said, quote, today, the American project is a project of infidels. Unfortunately, the Arab governments are being won over by the projects of the United States and the Zionist regime. The governments are corrupt without exception. So say the terrorist groups. It is amazing. Look, evil people blame others for what they themselves are guilty of. Overall, the comments appear to represent desperation on behalf of Iran and its allies among the Palestinians. The attempt to try to rekindle a revolutionary spirit like in 1979 or to encourage the Arab League to react as it did then is far-fetched. It really is. The interview with this particular representative represents Iran's attempt to spread slander against the UAE and also to encourage discord and protests in the region. So far, there have been few protests against the UAE-Israel agreement. And isn't that interesting? Because there is this idea that anything positive that happens between Israel and its neighbors is going to result in just the end of the world, or anything positive or substantial between Israel and the United States, or between Israel taking sovereignty over more of its land, is going to result in insanity. We didn't see that with the embassy move. We didn't see that even with the annexation of the Golan Heights. Now, again, as we've talked about before, they were going to annex certain parts of Judea Samaria, which the Palestinian Arabs call the West Bank, and because of the UAE deal, they've held off on that. So we'll see what happens there. But again, blessed are the peacemakers. And sometimes you have to make those tough decisions. And of course, the principalities and the powers of the air scream and rant and rave. But when you do it, you just do the right thing. A lot of times, you get good results and maybe just a little backlash and maybe nobody dies. And that's what has been happening in Israel. So we'll continue to monitor that. But now I think we need to take a little trip over to Afghanistan. We've been following this story, I wouldn't say quite a bit, but we've been following this off and on. The U.S. is attempting, and I believe it's a fool's errand, and I say that as someone who is a full Trump supporter, who is just, I love for the most part the president's foreign policy. One of the things that is mentioned in his next 4 years, what is that thing called? Just his next 4 years, what he promises to do is to end endless wars, and I like that, and I think he's trying to do that in Afghanistan. So I hope I'm wrong, and I very much could be wrong about that, but I just don't see how you can get a terrorist group to make peace with anybody. right? It's been a longstanding policy of the United States not to negotiate with terrorists. Now, I guess we're brokering a deal between the Taliban and the Afghans, and of course, the Middle East and Afghanistan is a very different situation than it is over here in the U.S., as it, at least for the next few months, is the U.S. being a free country. But we'll see. This is from the Associated Press. Taliban negotiators visit Pakistan to talk Afghan peace. A Taliban political team arrived in Pakistan on Monday as efforts appear to be ramping up to get negotiations underway between the Afghan government and the insurgents. The start of the talks, envisaged under a U.S.-Taliban peace agreement signed in February, was hampered by a series of delays that have frustrated Washington. Some had expected the negotiations to begin earlier this month. The Taliban delegation, led by their political chief, Mullah so-and-so, will discuss the Pakistan leaders, will discuss with Pakistan's leaders the, quote, recent developments of Afghans in Afghanistan's peace process, as well as, quote, relaxation and facilitation of people's movement and trade between the two neighboring countries, tweeted Suhail Shaheen, the spokesman for the Taliban political office. Islamabad is thought to wield influence over the Taliban, though there is mistrust on part of some within the movement toward Pakistan. Pakistan's Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi told reporters he would meet with the Taliban delegation on Tuesday. Islamabad's role is only to, quote, facilitate the peace process, and it's up to Afghans to decide the way forward. Quote, the majority of Afghans believe the only way forward is through reconciliation, but the decision to reconcile has to be taken by Afghans themselves. The visit comes a day after the Taliban chief announced a powerful negotiating team that includes nearly half of the Taliban leadership council and has the power to set agendas, decide strategy, and even sign agreements with the Kabul government. That Taliban team is headed by Sher Mohammad Abbas Stanaksai. Earlier, Pakistan approved several orders to implement UN sanctions against a number of outlawed groups, including the Taliban. The sanctions restrict travel, freeze assets, limit fundraising, and outlaw weapon sales. At the time, that's actually a piece of good news. The idea that the UN would sanction these terrorist groups. The UN, though, has allowed travel for the purpose of peace negotiations, but only for a limited number of Taliban figures. So this is happening. The negotiations are moving forward. One thing that is of particular news of note that I think is a Trump fulfilling his promise to end endless wars. It says here also, U.S. troops have begun withdrawing, and by November, fewer than 5,000 American soldiers are expected to still be in Afghanistan, down from 13,000 when the deal was signed, which was in February. So between February and November, we should have fewer than 5,000 soldiers there in Afghanistan. That is great news. It's fantastic news. And that used to be something that the left was excited about. It used to be something that the left would trash the right for being pro the Iraq War, which we were wrong about, for being pro the Iraq War, having our troops all over the country. Bring our troops home. Bring our troops home. Bring our troops home. President Trump is doing that now. And, I mean, it's literally what created ISIS, or at least allowed ISIS to spread, was Barack Obama in 2012 pulling our troops out of Iraq completely recklessly and irresponsibly for the purpose of winning an election. He won the election, but you know who lost? Those in the Middle East who had to experience we can't even begin to fathom, unless you're listening to this and happen to have experienced it firsthand, because we do have an international audience, we can't even begin to fathom what it would be like to have ISIS going from our neighborhood to another neighborhood, to another neighborhood. Like, imagine ISIS terrorists in vehicles with rocket launchers over their shoulders, driving down your street. I mean, that's, and killing people and doing much more that I won't say on this broadcast. That's what people in the Middle East had to experience because we, yes, irresponsibly, we went in and we shouldn't have gone in the first place. And it's created all kinds of mess. But our premature pulling out of Iraq created a nightmare. If we're there, then we need to at least be there until Iraq could establish a strong government, not pull it out, which was obviously for the purpose of winning an election. And all I can say is, look, maybe this will work. I hope I'm wrong. Trust me. I'll come on here. I'll be delighted to be wrong about this. You know, if we pull out now, do we create another ISIS in Afghanistan? So maybe I'm being a hypocrite here, speaking out of one side of my mouth with Iraq, speaking out of another side with Afghanistan. But you're literally negotiating with terrorists. These are terrorist group. And now this was something else interesting in this report. The Taliban have held to their promise not to attack U.S. and NATO troops, but have been staging near daily attacks on Afghan government forces. They say a permanent ceasefire will be part of the negotiations once they begin. So they literally, even during these negotiations, these bloodthirsty monsters, animals, can't even contain themselves to not physically and violently attack the very enemies they're attempting a peace deal with. And here's the thing. This is the Taliban. This is terrorism. It's Islamic ideology of conquest, conquest, conquest in the name of Allah, just as their founder, Muhammad, did. So maybe if they do establish some kind of temporary peace deal, the Taliban needs to be destroyed. They're not interested in peace. So I'm kind of thinking out loud with you guys. I apologize. But I gave you the straight-up news. This is what's going on. I've given you my opinion and commentary on it, and I hope something magical happens there. I hope something incredible happens there. Please pray for Afghanistan. I couldn't... this was really amazing. I just want to mention this. Look, Putin ain't an angel by any stretch. He's attempting to prolong his presidency another like 12 years through this constitutional amendment that was apparently voted in favor of. I have my doubts that that was legitimate, but leftists have no problem with rigging elections. Former KGB officer Putin himself is an absolute and total thug who partners with the worst regimes in the world, namely Iran and China. We saw last week how Russia, along with China, vetoed the UN arms embargo extension on Iran, the world's greatest sponsor of terror in the region. Putin is a bad guy. Now, whether who he wants to win. We know China wants Biden to win. The left has admitted that as such. I don't see why Russia would want Trump to win. I don't. He's certainly not a Russian stooge. I think he's proved that very clearly in all the fake anti-Trump investigations that tens of millions of dollars of our taxpayer money has gone to could not prove that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia. Even though, he wasn't exonerated. Yeah, he was exonerated because we're innocent until proven guilty, it's called, which is apparently a white racist thing now. Apparently due process is a white racist thing now. God help us all, which is quite racist, by the way. If you reject an ideology because it came out of Western civilization, which came from people of lighter color skinned who came up with the idea and you reject it for that reason, you are a racist. Congratulations. Alexei Navalny, a politician and corruption investigator who is one of Russian President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, fell ill on a flight back to Moscow from Siberia on Thursday and was taken to a hospital in the city of Omsk after the plane made an emergency landing. His supporters believe that tea the 44-year-old drank was laced with poison and that the Kremlin is behind both his illness and a delay in transferring him to Germany. However, he did get transferred to Germany somehow, some way. And what did they find? What did the German hospital find? This is from the Associated Press, reported in the Epoch Times. German hospital, poisoning signs found in Russian dissident. Tests conducted on Russian dissident Alexei Navalny at a German hospital indicate that he was poisoned, but doctors said on Monday he was being treated with an antidote and his life was not in immediate danger. This is actually pretty amazing. This is good news. Obviously, him being poisoned was bad news, but this is good news. See, this guy now is being talked about around the world, whereas beforehand, he might have been talked about here and there, maybe mentioned briefly here and there. This is big news now. Alexei Navalny, you now know his name. I now know his name. Putin, this is a brave individual. My gosh, when you live in Russia and you are criticizing Vladimir Putin, you are an incredibly brave individual. And you're fighting for people's freedoms. You are an incredibly brave individual. This gives me hope for Russia. Absolutely gives me hope for Russia. The Charité Hospital said in a statement that the team of doctors who have been examining Navalny since he was flown from Siberia and admitted Saturday have found indications of cholinesterase inhibitors in his system. Chancellor Angela Merkel, who had personally offered Germany's assistance in treating Navalny before he was brought to Berlin, said in view of the findings and his, quote, prominent role in the political opposition in Russia, authorities there are now called upon urgently to investigate this crime in detail and in full transparency. I am no fan of Angela Merkel, but I do appreciate this. I do appreciate that. Quote, those responsible must be identified and held accountable, Merkel said. Cholinesterase inhibitors are a broad range of substances that are found in several drugs, but also pesticides and nerve agents. Charité said the specific substance to which Navalny was exposed is not yet known. All right, so Alexei Navalny was poisoned. But I mean, look, do any of us really doubt? I mean, I know, probably in the name of prudence. Come on. I think we can all pretty much say with 99.99% certainty, Putin's biggest opposition leader gets poisoned on a flight and ends up in Germany, and the German hospital say, yeah, falls ill on a site, ends up at a German hospital. German hospital says, yeah, he was poisoned. I mean, is there really any doubt about whether or not Russia did this specifically Putin and his cronies? I really don't think there is any doubt at all. All right, I'm going to do something I haven't done before. Before I get into the Life Tip Tuesday, it is Tuesday. It's Life Tip Tuesday. I meant to mention this at the beginning, but today's Life Tip Tuesday is 5 ways to stay sane during an election season. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good. I feel great. And it's not because I know for certainty that Trump is going to win. But I've made peace with whatever happens, and I'm going to talk to you guys briefly about how I do that. But first, I'm just going to hit a few headlines. This is courtesy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, their overnight brief. The head of the UN's Atomic Watchdog Agency arrived in Iran on Monday to press for access to sites where authorities thought to have stored or used undeclared nuclear material. That's from the AP. One of the biggest issues with the Iran nuclear deal is that there are certain sites that are not open to IAEA inspectors. And that's been from the beginning of the deal. I won't beat a dead horse there. The new spokesman of Iran's foreign ministry has characterized the normalization of the UAE's ties with Israel as, quote, a scar on the face of the Muslim world. I would say quite the opposite. It actually makes the Muslim world look much better. The Iranian state funded and supplied various terror groups in order to kill and maim members of the U.S. Armed Forces in Iraq, dozens of wounded veterans say in a new complaint. Families of service members killed in attacks in Iraq are also among those who sued Iran and several agencies and state-controlled businesses in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. That is from a Bloomberg News report. Greece's Navy and Air Force will conduct military exercises beginning Tuesday in the eastern Mediterranean near a contested area where Turkey is prospecting for oil and gas, authorities said, drawing an angry response from Turkey. And what was that response? President Erdogan said on Monday Turkey's Navy will not back down as Greece sows chaos in the eastern Mediterranean Sea, where the countries have deployed frigates in an escalating rhetorical confrontation over overlapping resource claims. I'm kind of proud of Greece that it's standing up to Turkey, that it's standing up to this Islamic theocratic thug that has taken over the country. And they're showing an actual display of force and gumption by doing those military exercises in the eastern Mediterranean. So that is good news. All right, we're going to be doing more of that, maybe every day. I don't know, just hitting a few headlines of note, not necessarily reading the entire stories, but hitting some headlines of note that I think are important. And now let's talk about how to stay sane during an election year. Look, I get it. Tensions are high, emotions are high. And this is what was said. It was said 4 years ago. It seems to be said every 4 years that it's the most important election in our lifetime. And I actually think it's true, just trying to be objective. I actually think it's true. You could maybe make an argument that 2016 was more important in some ways, but I think you can make an argument that 2020 is more important in some ways. And it's because the left, see, back in 2016, the left hadn't fully embraced socialism. Even Hillary Clinton, in the debates, talked about how capitalism created the strongest middle class in the history of the world, which was amazing to be like, whoa, yeah, Hillary, I agree with, you know, in her debate with Bernie Sanders. So even back then, the main presidential candidates weren't full-on socialists. They were going there, but they weren't. And this time they are. We know who has control of the Democrat Party. We know who's calling the shots. It's a Somali Muslim extremist, a bartender from New York City that I don't like insulting people's intelligence, so I'm not going to do so. But when I hear her talk, she's certainly not somebody that I'm real interested in her directing the policy of the United States of America. You've got Rashida Tlaib, who is just an angry, vengeful, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian authority Muslim. It's really shocking. And you know what? It's not necessarily the Muslim part, because there are some strong Muslim patriots, such as the Zudi Jasser's of the world. Sadly, I think those are in the extreme minority. But it's just her absolute love for the PA, a terrorist organization, and hatred for Israel, which is actually a free nation in the Middle East. And then, of course, you have Bernie Sanders just there behind the scenes talking about, we're going to change America. We're going to, you know, bring, you know, all of the the talking points. And actually, I encourage you to listen to Cortez's 60-second segment. They literally gave her 60 seconds at the DNC. She gave every communist buzzword in that 60 seconds. And at the very end, she didn't even promote Bernie Sanders. I'm sorry. She didn't even promote Joe Biden. She didn't even nominate Joe Biden. She nominated Bernie Sanders, communist in chief. And don't be fooled. Bernie Sanders did not honeymoon in Norway. Bernie Sanders didn't honeymoon in Sweden. Bernie Sanders didn't honeymoon in these mostly white Nordic states that he exalts as the apotheosis of civilization. He honeymooned in the Soviet Union. He honeymooned under the Kremlin, under the one of the most oppressive regimes in the history of the world. That's where he honeymooned. He doesn't condemn dictators like Castro and Maduro. He's partners with, just like the Democrat Party is, with Iran. So you look at, words are one thing, but actions are quite another. He didn't honeymoon in Russia when he thought Russia became free after the fall of the Berlin Wall and democracy came and Boris Yeltsin was the prime minister in the 90s. That's not when he honeymooned in Russia. He honeymooned in Russia when it was the USSR. And Cortez and the Squad and Biden and Harris. Look, they are. That's why the Cuban refugee we played at the beginning, that's why he's like, I've heard all of this before. I've heard it all before. And it came from Castro's mouth. They call Trump a dictator, but they praise and love guys like Castro and Maduro and honeymoon and the USSR, where no human rights. And they come back to America and they want to live in America. Notice they don't want to live in the USSR. They want to live in America. And as was mentioned by one of the speakers last night, all the Hollywood celebrities claim if Trump wins, they're leaving America. And none of them do because they have it so good here and they would never be able to achieve the success anywhere else in the world than they do here. So look, I understand the concern, but I have made peace. I have made peace with the idea of staying sane, I am staying sane, and I am at peace with the idea that the left may win this election. I've made peace with it. I don't think they will. I think Trump will win, and I'm going to give you a reason. Reason number five is one of the reasons why I think Trump will win, and this is hard data that I encourage you to look up, and it'll be linked to at cgmradio.com. But number one, here are my top five reasons, quickly. Number one, trust God. Trust God. And I know it's easy to say, but there's a scripture, and I've shared it before on this show. It's Philippians 4, 6 to 7. And it says, be anxious for nothing. Now, what does nothing mean? It means nothing. Be anxious for nothing, even a Biden-Harris presidency. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't know Christ, I encourage you to go to cgmradio.com, click on Great News, which is in the middle of the toolbar on the homepage, and learn about how to come to know Christ. But that is the number one way. The number one way is that I say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Fill me with your peace. God, I trust you. Fill me with your peace. And there are some ways that we can get peace other than like a supernatural peace from God, peace in the natural. But first and foremost, put your trust in God. And look, remember, sometimes God allows bad things to happen for good later on. Look at 8 years of, without 8 years of Obama, we wouldn't have had Trump. And Trump has turned the Republican Party into this milquetoast, neocon, warmongering, just really piece of garbage, vaguely even pro-life, into a strong pro-America, pro-life, pro-freedom party in just a few years, which blacks and Hispanics and other minorities are flocking to because they see just the absolute destruction. By the way, if you haven't, if you didn't see, I believe her name is Kim Klasichik. I don't know how to say her last name, and I don't have it in front of me. And her video in that red dress walking through the just Democrat-destroyed streets of Baltimore is just priceless. Is just priceless. Wow. And it went viral, viral, viral. And she was featured last night at the RNC convention. I think she should have been the first person to speak. Oh, and Herschel Walker. Oh, my gosh. There are so many great ones. But trust God. Make peace. God allows these tyrants and evil people to arise at different times because he ultimately has good on the other end. I think we even saw this with what happened with the nation of Israel. I don't know that there would be an Israel if the events preceding Israel's formation had to happen, which if I could go back and assassinate Hitler, I would. I absolutely would. But God has a plan, and he allows certain things because he knows on the other end, maybe the creation of the nation of Israel prevented tens of millions of Jews from being killed, prevented tens of millions of other people from being killed. I don't know. I don't know. So if God does allow a Harris Biden ticket, which is really what it is, Harris Biden, even Biden won't be around for long, be Harrison. I don't know, Pelosi, I don't know who would be with her. Maybe Harris and Cortez, Harris and Ilhan Omar. I don't know. But Biden will be gone, and then the true radicals will take over. If that happens, make peace right now. Make peace right now with that. And go, you know what? Life is going to be different if that happens, which I don't think will happen. But let's just say it does. Let's just say it does. Life will be different if that happens. And I'm okay with it. And I will fight for my country. I will fight for my freedom. I will fight for my family's freedom. I will fight for my neighbor's freedom. And there will be heroes that will rise up. There will be incredible men and women that rise up to lead and to fight against the tyranny of a Harris-Ilhan Omar administration. And there will be incredible things that happen. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. Wait for reason number 5. I'll tell you why. I don't think that's going to happen. But just make peace with it and go, you know what? Life will be different. I get that. And it'll be an opportunity for me, for my friends, for my church to rise up and stand against tyranny. We've gotten a taste of it like never before here in 2020, the fight against tyranny. And we'll have more of a taste of that in the future. If Harris and Ilhan Omar win. I know. That's not technically the ticket. I get it. But it's not unlikely that something like that could happen. Now, she might not be, I think she's in her late 30s, so I'm not sure if she's old enough to be vice president. But albeit, it doesn't matter. The mouthpiece of the communist Islamo-fascist, which is what the left is these days. Make peace. You know what? Okay, if the unthinkable happens, life's going to be more interesting, and it's an opportunity too, which gets me to number 3, fight. The only way to stay at peace during a time of war is to fight. And we are in a civil war. Now, thankfully, for the most part, for most Americans, it is bloodless. That being said, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, these terrorist organizations are wreaking havoc. They're destroying, they're killing. And and they're trying to bring more violence and more discord and anarchy to this country. But right now we can fight by voting. Right now we can fight by standing publicly for our candidate. We can fight by really familiarizing ourselves and educating ourselves more and more and more on the issues. You know, I tweeted this out. I'll include the John Zmirak article, but there's a great article by John Zmirak in The Stream, which is stream.org, about it's better to cut off your right hand than to than to vote for Biden. But it's a very good summary of the issues at stake. But fight in whatever way you believe you need to. Prayer is one of the greatest ways you can fight. Prayer is one of the greatest ways you can fight. But in whatever way, whether that's social media, whether it's on your knees, whether it's a sign in your yard, whether it's putting an American flag in your yard, which is a political statement in and of itself, whether it's whatever way, whether it's making phone calls for Trump or doing whatever for the Trump team, fight for it. Number four, take a break from the news. You've got to take a break from the news. The only way to stay sane, one of the only ways to stay sane, is you have to take a break from it. You've got to give your mind a rest. I try to do that over the weekend. And really, for me, it starts Friday through Sunday. I really don't pay attention to much news. After I do my Thursday show, I'm kind of done, and I'm ready to go. Our minds need a break. You will be more productive if you take a break from the news than if you're into it 24/7. You've got to pace yourselves. I would also add to that to start every day off with the good news, not the bad news. The good news being the Word of God. The bad news being whatever site, conservative or leftist, that you might frequent. That's the bad news. But if you start your day off with the good news, it'll change the entire trajectory of your day. So trust in God, Philippians 4, 6-7. Make peace with whatever happens and choose to fight now and fight later. The only people who can really be at peace inside in a time of war is those who are engaging in that war. Four, take a break from the news. Please, I beg you, take a break from the news. See, look, World News Brief is only 4 days a week, and that, of course, is your most important news source. So, hey, you're good. You're good until we're back on Monday. I'm just kidding. But take a break from the news. And number five, there's a website I want you to visit. That website is primarymodel.com. I'm going to link to it on cgmradio.com. Making myself a note right now. This is a model based on presidential primaries that has been around since 1912. I'm sorry, the model hasn't been around since 1912. But presidential primaries began in 1912. And if you take the primary model and you developed by a man named Helmut Norpoth, kind of one of the very interesting name, but Helmut, H-E-L-M-U-T, not Helmet, but Helmut Norpoth, if you take his model and you apply it to every election since 1912 up through 2016, he predicts 25 out of the 27 presidential elections correctly. And in 2020, spoiler alert, he's predicting Trump, 91% chance. I think he's giving Trump like 374 electoral votes versus Biden's 190 or something like that. He published his results March 3rd, before all of the insanity happened. And all of this insanity, especially the violence and the rioting in the streets, only helps Trump because it gives the silent majority that much more encouragement to get out to vote, number one. And number two is bringing independents and minorities over to the Republican Party. So he had already published those results before all of these things that have been happening the past several months unfolded and then resulted, which I believe is resulting in more and more and more of people getting out to vote for Trump. And remember, the polls are always going to put the Democrats in the lead. The RCP average is always going to have the Democrats in the lead. Always. Did I mention that the polls are always going to have the Democrats in the lead? Polls are psychological warfare. Okay? They're worthless. They're pretty much worthless right now. I think there are some things you can get. Maybe you could get somewhat of an idea of what happened if the election was held today, but I don't think so. I mean, you look at the polls now in August 2020 versus, and you look at the polls in August 2016, Hillary was just ahead 15 points all day. It's psychological warfare designed to get Republicans to not vote. Don't listen to them. I think Rasmussen's pretty good, and he was actually very close in the last election. So, I do pay attention when Rasmussen says 30 to 40% of blacks approve of Donald Trump. That's pretty huge. But either way, go to primarymodel.com. You take that model, apply it to every election since 1912. 25 out of the 27, it predicts correctly. You know the ones it doesn't? The ones it missed? It was 2000, Bush and Gore, because, I mean, that was just an insane election on the onset with the hanging chads and all that. And then the 1960, Nixon versus Kennedy, which was also highly contested. There was a lot of issues with that election as well. But every other presidential election, it predicts correctly and is predicting Trump this time. So that's the Life Tip Tuesday. It, of course, went longer than I wanted, but I hope you guys, look, trust in God and pray. Pray. Trust He is in control. Make peace with whatever happens, but fight. Fight for freedom. Fight for liberty. Fight for your family. Fight for just the future of this country and the future of the world. Trump is right. As goes America, as goes the world. As that Cuban immigrant is correct, is that if without America, there's nowhere that people even have a hope to go to for freedom. America is the last stand for freedom on earth. What would you rather have, freedom or tyranny? Number 4, take a break from the news. And number 5, hit primarymodel.com. All right, guys, that will do it for today's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already. CGMradio.com/world. Email me, world@CGMradio.com, with news tips, questions, comments, and make sure to give me a follow on social media, Twitter and Parler, @WorldNewsCGM. Have an incredible Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, and may His kingdom come, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.